And in question, Zimbabwe has ruled there was no foul play in the death of a top power broker in President Robert Mugabe's party. Former Army Commander General Solomon Mujuru, the husband of the nation's vice president, was burned beyond recognition in a fire at his farmhouse south of Harare last year. Chief spokesman for the London-based Zimbabwe Vigil, Dennis Benton, told Christopher Wells about Mujuru's role in Zimbabwe and about the significance of the inquest into his death.
Solomon Mujuru was one of the key players in Zimbabwe. He was said to have been the only person who could challenge Mugabe at party meetings. His influence really stems from the time when he was the military chief for the Mugabe forces during the Independence War. Since then, he took over the army when Zimbabwe became independent. But in later life, he went into private business and farming and so on. But his wife kept the candle going as Vice President Joyce Mujuru. So he still had a big role to play, was considered to be a key figure in deciding who should replace Mugabe when he goes. He was also quite a controversial businessman, so there's speculation that he was wiped out really by either by a party rival or by someone who he fell foul of on business grounds. The inquest heard 38 witnesses, but the magistrate came to no real conclusions, apart from saying that he didn't believe that the death was caused by foul play. He said simply that it was because of carbonization, meaning that Mujuru was burnt to death. But one witness said they heard gunshots shortly before the fire broke out in the farmhouse at Beatrice, just south of Harare, where the incident took place. And Vice President Mujuru herself says that she's puzzled that the general couldn't have escaped from the room in which he was found. There were several low-level windows. And it's very puzzling indeed how a fire like that could have taken hold so quickly. There's speculation that it was assisted indeed. The evidence from some of the witnesses was quite ludicrous, really. The policeman on duty at the farm, for instance, said that he couldn't call for help because his phone had run out of credit and his radio was faulty. When the fire engine was finally called, he couldn't put out the fire because it had no water. This is the level characterized by the investigation. The family wants the body to be exhumed and an independent pathologist to examine the remains, but this request has been denied. There's considerable anxiety in the party just to let the matter lie. And there's unlikely to be any further developments, whatever the demands of the family.
So what is the significance of Mujuru's death and this week's inquest for Zimbabwe for the future?
Well, I mean, it shows really what a travesty of justice the legal system in Zimbabwe is, really. And it shows that the Mugabe people can act with impunity, really. They can get away with anything. The country has become not only one of the most corrupt in the world, as listed by Transparency International, the international organization which watches corruption, but it's also a lawless country, basically, where the judiciary really take instructions from the government, and in particular from the controversial Attorney General, Tumana, who's a key figure in propping up the Mugabe regime.
And Mugabe is I think 88 years old now. What does this do for the succession when it happens? I understand Mujuru was kind of one of the main factions preparing for whoever comes next.
Yes, yeah. She's considered by some people to be one of the more moderate prospects, really. There are allegations that she's widely involved in business corruption, in particular dealing in diamond, in gold, through her daughter, who's based in Spain. But I think the chief candidate, Edstromus, is the defense minister, Emmerson Mnangagwa, who worked quite closely with the military chief, Chiwenga. They're likely to be the successors to Mugabe, who, as you say, is 88 and in frail health, really, though he puts up a brave face. He's pushing for elections this year because there are doubts whether he'll be physically strong enough to stand for election if it's left much later. But this involves going against the global political agreement signed 3 years ago, under which the ZANU-PF party joined a coalition government with the former opposition Movement for Democratic Change. But Mugabe says he won't be bound by this agreement, and he insists on calling elections before the end of this year, even though a new constitution has yet to be completed and go through parliamentary approval.
So is there any likelihood of constructive change in Zimbabwe in the near future?
No. They've discovered an enormous amount of diamonds in eastern Zimbabwe, which are now being used to finance the party with the assistance of the Chinese, who are actually running some of the mines. Most of the revenue from the diamond mining is unaccounted for. Indeed, the finance minister, Tendai Biti, says that he expects $600 million this year to help finance the $4 billion budget. But so far, in the first 2 months of the year, the national exchequer can only account for $19 million of this. It's thought that well over $1 billion is going astray. This will be used to buy Chinese weapons and to finance the violence which will characterize the next elections.